to make a disclaimer.
Good. Okay.
So where are we?
What's new processing? I see. Okay. Yeah, take please. So I'm assuming we're holding by Lamed Tes.
Yes, we are sitting in the middle of Lamed Tes.
Right, Lamed Tes Mem. Okay. So Omra. Omra Neshama, Zevadai. Shavana Tluya Rak Bavchana. Understanding is only possible when you're able to distinguish things. He had said before Lamed Ches that you in order the bad and the darkness in the world exists in order to present to us the good and the light. In other words, we don't understand things just as they are without a contrast. A lot of times somebody tells you a sentence, and you, the sentence makes sense. But when I say, people need to check in or whatever it is, and I say, as opposed to what? So until now, people just walk without checking in. People didn't bother to do this. You always need to ask yourself, in contrast to what? Our eye only sees things when it's in contrast. So something that's totally white, we can't make out. A camouflage works because there's no contrast. So it's all white. I can't make out the animal that's white when the snow is there and the animal is there and everything's white, 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 white. So he says, Zevare, Shavana Turak Bafchana. So understanding something is when you contrast something. The Maral says, he deals with a famous question, why does Masechta Shabbos start with Yitzias HaShabbos, with Hitzah? I mean, it's not one of the mainstream halachas and so on. And he says, since you understand everything by its contrast, Shabbos and Yom Tov are both Shabbosim. What makes Shabbos stand out unique is the fact that it is Asa Baitzah. That's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Mishnah starts, we identify Shabbos as the Yom Tov that has Asa Baitzah. Huh? The Maral? I don't know. It's famous Maral. He says that Yitzias HaShabbos starts with that because that's mafkin that between that and Yom Tov. Be'aval pi shamachshav al yoyna ein daker dakmin adam. Even though Hashem is not like that, Hashem doesn't need that. Hashem has a different way of thinking. But the term is given for us, and the way our tefisa is set up is to understand things by contrast. And therefore, we needed to have Ra in the world so that Tov would come out in the contrast. Mem. Amar Seichel. Yoyse Mashamarto. I'm going to add a lot more than that. You said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is... HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to sort of cater to our weaknesses and to give make room for our weaknesses. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in his way. In other words, as the infinite God's infinite world. All of the logical frameworks that we have for understanding things don't apply to Hashem. Before and after, cause and effect. For us, these are absolutes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're not. Let's stop and talk about this a little bit. When we present limitations on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that we can't put limitations that it's too far, it's too heavy, it's too strong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above those limitations and we accept those. What's harder to understand is there are structural limitations in our mind. Two things cannot happen simultaneously. There's always a cause and effect. But the answer is it's something, but that's only true because we're hardwired like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not hardwired like that, so it doesn't apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was once in Heritage Retreats in the West Coast, and there was like a few days of extraordinary heat, and then it cooled off and it was very, very pleasant, and David Gottlieb came to speak. It just happened to be he was scheduled to speak, and the first thing he said is, you know, I would like to take credit for the beautiful weather I brought and so on and so forth. You know, it's very, like, you know, the nice weather I brought. And then I was talking, and one of the things he mentioned in his speech was that sequence is a human item. For us, if A causes B, A must precede B, and so on and so forth. So later in the evening, they had some question and answer. Whatever it was, so I said, Rabbi Gottlieb, first I would like to thank you very much for bringing this beautiful weather. And I said, secondly, being that you explained to us so beautifully that sequential cause and effect, a chronological sequence cause and effect, is lav dafka, why couldn't your coming today have caused the weather 3 days ago to become nice? Like, why is it totally in right now? So a lot of these things, a lot of these strictures of you know, it can only be this and that, are ours.
Is that maybe a way of looking at the fact that, I know that now they find that on the imperceptible level of physics and things like that,
Correct. And to me, it's sort of a dogma. We have a lot of things in Chazal. It says l'mosh about los p'chias ha-meisim. Say the era dugmas chan ba'olam hazeh. In other words, most things that Kadosh Baruch Hu created in the future, even though they don't exist today as such, but there's a dugma. And I do think in quantum physics, where you have things happening simultaneously, where they come from the same source, but one is not affecting the other, is reflective of the minimal we can learn from it is, when I was growing up, physics made sense from A to Z, or else it wasn't physics. There was no such thing as physics that makes sense. The vision of physics was how to make sense of things around you. And everything clicked. And the making sense means cause A leads up to effect B, and B is caused by A, and that's how it is. The modern physics, it first and foremost, it tells you that even things that quote-unquote don't make sense are still realities. And if they're realities, even if they don't quote-unquote make sense, that's the Metzius. And we have a lot of things like that. Yes.
You said that that's a level of reality where the Gunsham was not trying to communicate with.
Correct. It's Be'etzim, the fact, you know, it's funny, they talk about it, it's at a very small level, meaning it's Be'etzim, not the Chelek of the Bria that's meant for us. And Chelek of the Bria doesn't follow these things. I think it's an amazing, it is an amazing demonstration of Tzeivara of the Gmosel. Let's see what I say. V'imhoye b'yrekach, v'yiseisim p'yem shal kol abriyas, shayif to p'yem kol al-kamaisa. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have created the world where the laws that run the world are completely away from us, nobody could say anything. K'loy hoye efshalon el-ahavim darker kol v'ikar. We wouldn't be able to say anything about it. K'der kol y'choltin v'sizichleinu. In other words, anything that has to do with Mahalcha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not nitfas. And then not understood, a person whose mind is limited to specific laws can't understand it. Aval mipnei sheratza ratzina elyei sheyuchlu b'nerim lahavim tzas rechav haloisa. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted we should be able to be toifis part of it. Ve'adrabe. He wanted us to pursue it. So because he wanted us to be involved, to understand, and to really get into it, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that way. I want to add a point about this. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that, or I shouldn't say the reason as much as what comes out of that is as follows. Closeness is wherever there is an interaction with something. Dveikus, a kesher, requires contact. So physical contact is when I hug somebody, that's physical contact of kirva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously not shy after that. and there's nothing in a physical way that brings us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What has to happen is that our mind, which is the core of self, intersects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A dogma is when a person is dating almanas to get married, the thing that tends to be a clencher is when you feel you're both on the same page, same wavelength. The extraordinary development usually is when you feel that the other person understands you so much. You think alike, and so on. That always gives you the greatest sense of kirva on a pneumistic level. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kirva to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kirva to us can only be expressed where our understanding and tfisa can have a makom achiza in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chachma. So part of Torah is given to us in the language that we can be davuk to as much as Kaviyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us that a chelik of his chachma it should be. Now, in a nutshell, this explains the extraordinary mizug of Chok and Mishpat. Let's talk a little bit about this. If we ask ourselves, what is... We have two mitzvahs. We have Chok and Mishpat. If you take a look at the world, people who are atheists, secular, it's all about Mishpat. If it makes sense, if it's reasonable, then it's good. If it's not, it's not. Religious people, Christians, Muslims, and everybody else, it's all about Chok. That's the divine will. This is all the religious kind of supersedes the rational. And that tends to identify it as religious. You don't find a religion that has Baba Metzia as part of its profoundly religious texts. And Loba Shemayim, and whatever Besna over here says, and so on and so forth, all of that is unique to us. The fact that we have in the same Shas, we have Mesechtes Parah, which deals with things that are Chok, and Mesechtes Baba Metzia, which are almost all Mishpat, that's unique. It defies both ends of it. And we understand it that on the one hand, we need to acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzem Atzmusay is above and beyond any type of Havan and Tfisa. Lo Machshavayisa Machshavayisechem. That's the truth. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be Miskasha to Him, and therefore He gave us a part of the Torah that is Mishpat, which means it rests, it sits as well with us fundamentally as a HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Could you say that in Judaism the Mishpat helps reinforce our emunah, whereas in other religions it takes away? If you need to be convinced, then you don't really have...
I mean, this is really the heart of Eila Mishpatim. It says Ve'ela Mishpatim, Eila is Pasak, Devav is Mechaba. So the question is, well, why make a hole in a patch? Why don't you just leave it alone? You tell me the Torah starts Eila Mishpatim because Eila is Mafsik. And we don't want to be Mafsik, so we add a Vav. So let's take the Vav away and the Eila away, and then we would be in good shape. The answer is, it is distinct, and yet it's part of the same thing. Because we recognize when we're learning about Metzia that it's valid because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that this is how you should go about setting it up. And what we need to do, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, is to use our mind to the utmost to be oimer on it. Nafkamina is when we come up occasionally on halacha that we can't fathom. So we say to ourselves, okay, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What can we do?
I mean, Yidduch Gisa, we have an idea of Lavali Cross Svara here.
Correct. Anything that's a Svara in a certain realm of halacha is halacha. That's part, you know, it's Mishpat applies in Paraduma. Once I have the basic halachas, learning one from the other is through the process of Mishpat. Comparing, asking, Kal v'chomer, Medama Mosa Mosa, it all emanates from that area of Svara. So it says like this: Vaklal Sharotza for Isaac Echel and Vernon Echel, Alke Nasan and Mokas Bernabo, Ola Hovin Lefochas Mat Mizer Moy Kabir. So Akash Baruch Hu gave us this piece of it. There's a famous medrash that the Maral brings, that when Akash Baruch Hu gave to Torah, to Moshe, the Luchas was 6 Tfachim long, 2 Tfachim Moshe held on to, 2 Tfachim Akash Baruch Hu held on, and 2 Tfachim in the middle. And that's what it implies. 2 Tfachim are solely Akash Baruch Hu, we have no Tfisa in it whatsoever. 2 Tfachim are Kuloi our Tfisa. And there's 2 Tfachim that are somewhere in the middle. Varaya Ludavi says, Maisa Breishis Kakosa Viserosai, Sheisham Meir Al Atzmai, Shebora Salma Bechiluk Zmanim, Vehevdul Mamaris, Ubeseda Mashatzaboy, Veloya Kol Basachas, Vloya Mamechat Sheyachali Boris. So he says, the Etzem Maisa Breishis, which is the Tanna's Kasha, Veloy Bemay Mechat Sheyachali Boris. What is the Kasha, what is the Tanna wanted that? Well, what's with his question? That it could be with one. So what's your problem? Like, Hashem Baruch Hu used too many words. What's the issue? So the answer is Maima Echad means none of the framework that applies to us needed to have applied before, after, different, segmented, none of that needed to apply. It could have just, said, let it be. And Akash Baruch Hu, everything happens at the same time. So he says, the Torah says, Akash Baruch Hu wanted us to be a part of it. And therefore, for us, something that comes without clear definitions is worthless. If I say Hashem created the world, they ask, okay, let's say some details. They say, well, in a timeless way, He created an endless world where everything came before everything else and everything happens after everything else. I mean, that sounds like the Buddhist koan, just a puzzle. It means nothing. So already, Bereishis starts with Bereishis. There was a beginning. That's already setting a time frame. It's very possible. It says Bereishis, being it's the first Maima, is the root of it all. By Bereishis means with sequence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to be sequential, and therefore, it works.
What's the pshat in the end of the mission over there according to the Maral to give schar to the tzaddik?
Right, this allows for schar and onish. If we're not part of it, the world of schar and onish is because we're shayach to the das of schar and onish.
It wouldn't work if it was chukim, or
it wouldn't work if it was completely mufka from us. We have to be part of it to something. It could work, but here's the pshat: it's a deeper point. It's part of the process. And it becomes part of the mahalach.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's not really my question, but it's like a response that students have sometimes.
Sure.
Where there's like another level of understanding. So if we use the contrast example, like how can we see the good without bad?
Right.
So they could say, well, God created us to understand the difference between, so He could have created a dimension, like us differently, that we didn't need contrast. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you go to that other level,
correct.
There has
so,
to be a reason.
So a few ways to go with it. Whatever it is, we're trying to pick out within the context. For instance, let's give an example. Let's say somebody married a particular girl or boy. Looking at the shidduch, we can say, I can understand and see what the person saw in this other person. The meat, whatever it is. I can't say why couldn't he have not chosen something else. It's not something I know from this or whatever it is. Looking around the world and seeing what's the most basic structure of Chachma in the world tells me That's Hakadosh Baruch Hu, one person. Why this, nothing else? No question. In love, like, there's no, that doesn't, that's one answer. Another answer is, the Maral makes this point, could Hakadosh Baruch Hu created everybody else to be a god? Could Hakadosh Baruch Hu made everybody god? The answer is no, not because he's limited, but things that are contradictions in definition don't belong. You can't posit a god either. If I say Hakadosh Baruch Hu create a hot cold drink, Hakadosh Baruch Hu can't create a hot cold drink, because the problem with creating a hot cold drink is not that that you can or can't. It's by definition you can't have a hot cold object. So you're basically speaking nonsense. Not a question. A nivra can't be a boring, which means every nivra is limited. The one thing we are not is infinite, because by definition we were created. So the only creation can have limitations, and once you're limited, you can't think about the whole thing in one shot. You need to have it segmented. Let's give an example. Let's say you're very musical, and since you're a little kid, somebody plays something, you hop the tune immediately, and you feel it, and you know exactly what's missing, what's not missing. That's how you relate to music. I'm not musically gifted, but I really like to understand a little bit. So I ask you, Josh, you know, he's playing this, and you look so thrilled, and the other guy played yesterday, and you look kind of not comfortable. Why? So first you'll tell me, well, didn't you see? I mean, this is great. This is grating. So I say, no, I don't get it. So you'll think and you'll say, okay, let's compare the speed of it. Let's compare which note he hit at which time. I have a grandson, Avi, who must be 7 years old. He's extraordinarily gifted musically, and he loves drums. He just beats out anything. He did professionally. He was once on stage and got up and he took over. He's amazing in that way. So I don't know, my son was singing me, whatever it is, and he instinctively was kind of playing drums, you know. It was Shabbos, he was playing drums, but it was kind of going. So I said to Avi, like, how do you know that you're supposed to do three times this and then once this? How do you figure that out? So he looked at me blank and says, don't you get it? It goes, it's obvious. So the answer is no. You're going to have to explain to me in a way, in my type of language, which is just give me like, okay, if the tune has the following beat to it, then the drum accompaniment has to have the following. And give me that. So here also, we are nivroim, and therefore we are limited. That's by definition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the nivroim to understand the borei, they need to understand it as nivroim, not as a borei.
Because the
nivroim.
Because
the nivroim. Because by being a nivroim means, there was a time that I wasn't, and then there was a cause, and then I was. You don't go from being a non-existent to existent just stam. There has to be some sort of process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-existent, no beginning, no end, no cause. So that's a whole different, that's why he's a borei.
Because I'm in the sequence. Because I'm in the sequence,
yes.
I am
a creature of sequence. Just like a computer will never, ever, ever, ever be able to think creatively. Because we might invent something creatively, but then it's not going to be a computer. A computer works with a program. So a program is a cause and effect, and it's not creative. It's logically bound. As soon as you fed it the first piece of information, the answer's there already, automatically. And it doesn't have the freedom to give an answer at once answer, unless it's broken. But if a computer by admission is something that runs by a program, there's no two ways about it. So the program Shabbat is it means that it's bound. Humans seem to have a very different type of brain, and even though the scientists try very hard to somehow fix it, fit into it. One of the things that makes research of the mind so difficult is, in your hand, I can tell you, or not me, but a doctor can tell you exactly what each piece does and what will happen if I take that piece out. So if I take out this piece of bone or cartilage, I'll tell you exactly what's missing. I'll tell you exactly what's not going to work and which muscle I should lengthen. It's mechanical. No tricks about it. The brain is very not like that. There are certain regions that tend to be this way, but when they get damaged, another region picks it up. So how does the brain work? Is there special tissue that deals with math problems, a special tissue that deals with take care of your boss when he's obnoxious, a special tissue that deals with music? I don't know. It doesn't seem that way. There's nothing certain. So it does seem to work in a different way. So he says, Variety of Maisebracious starts with Chiluk Zmanim and Seder. V'loa kol basach, zol mayim ech sheyoch liboros. U'me'atech an lahafchin b'chol pol oisem b'tameyem. V'koshkem tol oseyem, kol asugim v'amin ha'potim v'kol aseyem nishad ha'akim v'ni odam. To be honest, Kabbalah, which purports to teach us about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhagis, is a very, very, very structured limut. In other words, Kabbalah tells me that I can give categories and units and causes and effects. It's very complex, but what makes Kabbalah understandable is that I've been able to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhagis from the realm of this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to there are mahalchim, and I can understand much of what happens through his mahalchim. Okay, it's good. I think we'll hold it here. So in a certain sense, the Ramchal comes back again, and he says this in many places, and this is him. What we're trying to do is, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria a Seder HaDvarim, what we learn, we as humans can only learn Seder HaDvarim. V'chanois HaShe'achon is by definition unteachable and unlearnable. Any Hanhaga that comes from V'chanois HaShe'achon Richam Tesharachim is not understandable to us. I want to add, maybe we'll add one point to this word Asher. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked certain things, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Chanois HaShe'achon V'richam Tesharachim." Was Kadosh Baruch Hu answering him? There's nothing there. So the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, when he speaks about Eker She'eker, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told, my name is Eker She'eker. The Rambam says an extraordinary Havana. The word Asher in Hebrew, it's a preposition. It's a word that connects two words. It connects them in a way where I see one as being the result or the example or the branch of the other. I ask, for instance, who's that guy standing there? He's the person that or who was there yesterday. So the word Asher ties, so the person who's there yesterday is the known quantity. I see a guy standing here, and he's unknown, and I peg him. So I say, who Asher Diber? This is what he spoke before. The before is a known, and this is a hemshech of it. So the word Asher makes one item be a hemshech of the other item. That's what it means. So he says, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked him, what kind of God are you? He could have, like he says, you all know that in Mitzrayim there was somebody rooting for you and really doing great things. This is the God Asher. But when they asked for the core definition, he said, Eke Asher Eke. I am because I am. There is, my core definition is the one who does not need a reason, cause, or is not an example of anything, or a branch of anything, or a hemshech of anything. That's what it is exactly.
Yeah. Separate question. Just dealing with Bria Sa'ilam and Parsha Bereishis over there. When I teach to students or it comes up, I feel like the mahalach I'd like to take, and I want to know if everybody thinks it's a good mahalach and how we would go about it, is that the Torah is not trying to. What I understand is the Torah is not trying to tell us, you know, scientifically how we got here. That's not the kavanah of the Torah. It's,
right.
But what is it trying to tell us? So the Torah, a little bit here, but what?
Okay. So a few things. First of all, that it was created. Secondly, that it's there's division. In other words, each day means they're compartmentalized, and each one has its own mahalach and function, so on and so forth. Also, that there are reasons why there's a certain hierarchy, and we can learn a lot why it's listed as Yaakov HaMayim coming first and this coming second. We can extrapolate a lot of conceptual material. Even the Ramban says that the parasha is totally impossible to understand scientifically. Just doesn't. There's no information there. It is telling me different things. There's a reason why on the fourth day it's Shemesh V'Yireach. It's a reason why the primary being of Shemesh V'Yireach is to make Mo'adim as opposed to make light. There's a reason why there's a division between Al-Yonim Tachtoinim, the concept of Al-Yonim, concept Tachtoinim. All of that, there's a reason why man is at the very end of creation. All of these sketch a very accurate picture of the mohus of creation, but it's not the scientific, conceptual mohus of creation.
See, the fact that a lot of people ask the question, how could we have light before the sun? But Rebbe says that the Torah is making this point that the sun and the moon.
Well, first thing is light. The sun is only an example of light. I mean, that's obvious to us. Light is photons, so it doesn't need the sun in any way, in any way, shape, or form. So the fact that the light is in a very concentrated form, and could have made some central light bulb in the universe, and maybe that was the or then HaKadosh Baruch Hu focused it in its totally in Shemesh V'Yireach. Correct. Why was light the first thing created? All of these are things that we certainly can learn a lot from the Mahalach HaTorah.
To get into a conversation with somebody, like, how does this explain what happened? Does Rebbe feel like that the best Mahalach is to go to the Ramban, which is nobody ever said that this is trying to explain?
It is. We can deduce certain things, that there is a creator, that we believe firmly. Evolution, in the sense that it could happen by itself, is absolutely wrong. Everything is because that if it was true that it happened by itself, then we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu nothing, and that's sort of basically very clear. It's Vayoyimah, Vayidaber, and so on. But could it help me understand all the scientific process I've done? No, not the Pshat and Torah.
And that was never the Kavanah.
Never Kavanah either. The Torah's Kavanah is to be Megala, the Ribbono Shel Olam's Chelek in the Bria. And, okay.
Okay, I got two lines. What was that going on?
So, I mean, I happen to have mentioned a little bit about my spaceship, but it was...
Have you ever know what a TED Talk is, right?
TED Talk?
TED.
I know there's such a thing, yeah.
So there's a very famous...